In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she from her poverty has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good evening, everyone. There are two ways of being generous, the way of the scribes and the way of the widow in today's gospel. The scribes were experts in interpreting the law of Moses, and the law of Moses was the core of Jewish culture. And so the people of ancient Israel respected and revered the scribes, but Jesus was unhappy with them. Without a doubt, they worked long, hard hours. They were always busy with worthy projects. But unfortunately, their natural intellectual gifts and elevated social function had gone to their heads. Instead of exercising their leadership as a service to the nation and to their neighbors, they were flaunting it to stroke their vanity, increase their comforts, and enhance their reputation. The higher they climbed, the more they looked down on everyone else. They considered themselves superior because they gave more time, more talent, and more treasure in the temple than anyone else. But this was a one-dimensional view of generosity. The scribes were forgetting that all those external things were actually gifts that God had given them in the first place. What God truly wants from us is something more, something deeper. He wants our love. He wants us to put our trust in Him. This is what the poor widow gave to Him. She didn't just share some of her abundance. She handed over to God all of her wealth, everything that she had, saying to Him, "Lord, you are my good shepherd, and I will follow wherever you lead." That was a prayer the scribes had not prayed. They considered that they were doing God a favor by serving Him. The widow understood that God was the one doing all the favors. This is the kind of generosity that God wants to see flourish in each one of us. The generosity by which we give to God not just our stuff, but our hearts. The same lesson comes across clearly in today's first reading. We don't know if the widow who was gathering sticks would have recognized that Elijah was the famous prophet. It is likely that she wouldn't have. After all, there was no TV or internet back then to spread images of famous people. It is likely that she didn't know who he was, but even if she did, she had very little reason to comply with his request. A drought and a famine had devastated the country. She and her only son were on the verge of starvation. She was suffering intensely, and she had grave problems of her own to deal with, and she had plenty of reasons to lash out at someone who ignored her suffering and asked favors of her. It is in times of hardship and stress that our true character shines out. And in the case of this widow, her true character was truly courageous and beautiful. She left aside her own work when Elijah asked her for a favor, loving her neighbor as herself. And when he asked more than she could give, she didn't become vindictive or angry, but simply stated the facts. She was a woman who recognized her own dependence on God. And as a result, she was able to be generous towards others who were in need without getting tangled up in self-centered complications. Her selfless generosity accurately reflects God's goodness to her, and God rewards her for it. He showers her with his blessings, proving that she was right to trust in him. God doesn't always insulate us from the sufferings of life in a fallen world, as he did with this widow after she met Elijah. But if we, like her, humbly recognize our dependence on him by living generosity of the heart, we will surely not lose our reward. Generosity of the heart, true Christian generosity, frees us from self-destructive shackles of anger, resentment, and vengeance, things that can often rob us of happiness. In 1995, in Cook County, Illinois, a man was on trial for drunk driving. While he was driving drunk, he collided with and killed two pedestrians. The case was a simple one because the man pleaded guilty and was willing to accept his sentence, whatever it would be. The man's mother came with him to be present at the trial. After the proceedings were finished, another woman came up to her. She introduced herself as the mother of one of the victims of the drunken accident. Then this other woman said to her, "I just want you to know that I know you must be in great pain, and I feel for you. I know your son didn't mean to do it. I just wanted you to know that." Instead of being blinded by her own pain and suffering, this woman was able to reach out and comfort someone else, someone related to the very man who killed her own child. This is the kind of interior strength and freedom that comes from a truly humble, self-forgetting, and generous heart. St. Vincent de Paul used to say, "The most powerful weapon to conquer the devil is humility, for as he does not know at all how to employ it, neither does he know how to defend himself against it." Because of our fallen human nature, we all have a strong tendency to follow the example of the scribes instead of the widow in today's gospel. Just think about how hurt and angry we feel when we work hard to help or to please someone and they don't show any appreciation for our efforts. Or to take another example, think how sensitive we are when someone criticizes us or misinterprets our own motives. We truly need to purify our hearts and the self-centered attitudes that make us more like the scribes than the widow. This is not something that we can do on our own, nor is it something that usually happens from one day to the next. But we can make progress under two conditions. First, we have to take small steps, being patient with ourselves as we gradually learn to do what is right out of a desire to please God, not please other people. Second, we have to ask God to help us. His grace is our secret weapon, and too often we keep it on the shelf simply because we don't ask for his help. A short prayer composed by St. Ignatius of Loyola is particularly suited for growth in this type of heartfelt generosity. This prayer goes like this: "Dear Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve, to give and not count the cost, to fight and not heed the wounds, to toil and not seek for rest, to labor and not ask for any reward, except that of knowing that I am doing your holy will. Amen." Unless we gradually transform our self-centered, scribe-like tendencies into a Christ-centered, humble generosity like that of the widow, we will never be able to attain true Christian wisdom or experience true Christian joy. We can do two things to foster this transformation within us. First, we have to ask God every day to purify our hearts, because without his grace, we can do nothing. Second, we can practice. True life-transforming virtue can only be developed by conscious effort. It doesn't come from a pill or from feeling. It comes from exercise. Virtues in this sense are like muscles. The more we use them, the stronger they get. And the best place to exercise heartfelt, selfless generosity is at home. Here in the school, here at St. Thomas, we teach our children about virtues in each of the grade levels. One of the grandparents of a student came and told me a short story. Her daughter, or her granddaughter, had come home from school and was coloring a little picture on the kitchen table. And the daughter says to her, "Would you please go get me a drink?" And the grandmother said, "I'm kind of busy right now. Go get it yourself." And she said, "You could practice the virtue of generosity." Mm-hmm. In fact, family life is designed by God to be a gymnasium for Christian virtues. It's easy to put on the appearance of generosity like the scribes when we are interacting with people outside of the family, because they only see us every once in a while. At home, our family members see us all the time. And so they know the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so finding creative ways to serve our family members is a sure path to purifying our hearts of selfish motives. They simply won't be impressed with our efforts. They know us all too well. There's little chance of family members praising you too much for helping with someone else's chores, even when they didn't ask, or for being the first to forgive after an argument or a fight, regardless of who was at fault, or for leaving the last morsel of food for someone else without expecting any reward for ourselves. God wants us to have freedom and joy of a truly generous heart, and He will if we ask for His help, and if we do our part by practicing virtues at home. As we continue with this Mass, let us live it from our hearts, exercising our trust in God's goodness and power, and offering our lives to Him in thanksgiving for all He has given us, just as the poor widow in today's gospel. Amen.